Not funny,
she growled.
Not funny at all.
Saba raced in the direction of the footfalls, but in the maze of dark steel, she quickly lost track of Hamner's route. She checked her chrono. Only 4 minutes to launch. On the hangar floor, the two squadrons she could see were sealed up tight. Their R9 units were strobing green, and the support crews were unhooking hoses and moving utility carts toward the deck perimeter. Saba searched for Hamner in the force. This time, the only presence she could feel along the catwalks was Silgall's, about 100 meters away and moving cautiously but calmly as she searched the far side of the maze. Saba hissed in frustration, then started toward the front of the hangar. There were two doors and therefore two maglev generators, and Hamner would have to cut both power feeds if he wanted to trap the stealth X's. Otherwise, flight control would simply open one blast door and the squadrons would stream out in single file instead of launching in formation. So all Saba really needed to do was save one door. If the force was with her, she would pick the right one and catch Hamner before he did any damage. If not, Dala and Starfighter Command would have 3 minutes instead of 30 seconds to react. The last squadron or two might find themselves fighting to escape Dala's grasp. But even so, nearly 50 Jedi and Stealth X's would escape to join Luke in the fight against Abeloth and the Sith. Saba reached the front of the hangar with 3 minutes left before launch. The Taradium Blastors were already riding on their maglev tracks, their lustrous surfaces shimmering with the reflections of colored signal lamps. A deep roar was building inside the hangar as the Stealth X's ramped up their ion engines, preparing for a hot launch. Saba leaned over the safety railing, peering down at the inside corner of the nearest blast door. From such a height, the maglev generator was not at all impressive, a danger yellow drum about as tall as a Wookiee and surrounded by a transparasteel safety wall. The power feed was entirely nondescript, a gray plasteel conduit tube about as large as a male human's arm that ran up the wall adjacent to the blast door and disappeared into a junction box in the ceiling. Seeing no sign of Hamner anywhere near the first conduit, Saba reached out for Silgall and found her back near the observation balcony. This puzzled her for a moment, until she remembered that the quickest way down from the catwalks was via that balcony. Had the Mon Calamari left it unguarded, it would have been a simple matter for their quarry to double back, drop down to the flight deck, and simply walk to the maglev generators. Relieved that Silgall had thought to cover that route, Saba turned to inspect the second power feed. It was hidden by the far edge of the door, and the terradium was more than 2 meters thick, enough to hide her quarry, had he already jumped across. Wondering if she still had a chance to save both doors, she started down the catwalk, shuffling sideways so she could keep watch over the doors she had just checked. There was no use trying to save the second door if she let Hamner sneak behind her and take the first. Saba had just reached the midpoint scene, where the doors came together in a magnetic seal stronger than the terradium itself, when a pair of hawkbats suddenly dropped out of the superstructure above. The din inside the hangar had grown so loud that it was impossible to hear their shrill cries, but she could feel in the force that they were more angry than frightened, and the way they kept circling back into the darkness suggested they were trying to protect a nest somewhere up on the girder. Saba ran her gaze along the upper edge of the girder and realized her mistake even before she spotted the shadowy figure running toward the doors. Hamner didn't intend to cut the power feeds. He was going for the relay box that controlled the magnetic seal between the blast doors. She raised a hand and used the force to jerk him off the girder. If Hamner cried out as he fell, his voice was lost in the general roar of the Stealth X engines. But when he looked in Saba's direction, his mouth was gaping in rage, his arms flailing and his eyes filled with betrayal. Determined not to kill him, Saba stepped closer to the safety rail and caught him with the force, then pulled him toward the catwalk, toward her. Hamner's hand dropped to his side, and as Saba floated him over the rail half a second later, he had his lightsaber in hand and ignited. She hurled him into the catwalk, slamming him into the Durasteel grate face down, then snatched her own weapon and was standing above him as he looked up. His nose was gashed, crooked, and pouring blood. Saba ignited her own blade.
Kenth, stop!
She yelled, trying to make herself heard above the roar of the engines.
If we continue, you will only get...
Saba felt her shin scales go flat and barely lowered her blade in time to keep Kenth from cutting her off at the knees. He was only trying to drive her back. She was sure of that. Instead of taking an easy counterstrike at his head, she rolled her wrist and sent his blade flipping away, then stepped forward to stomp on an elbow that was suddenly no longer there. Hamner was rolling toward the edge of the catwalk, turning up on his side with his top arm extended toward his tumbling lightsaber and his lower arm coming around to club her behind the legs. Saba tried to escape by stepping forward. He was too quick, landing a force-enhanced blow that buckled her knees and would have sent her crashing down on her back had she not had a tail with which to catch herself. But Saba did have a tail, and so Kent's attack merely dropped her to her knees at his side. She lashed out, more by instinct than will, barely remembering to retract her claws before she planted her free hand in Hamner's chest. She pushed hard, pinning him against a safety rail support post,